Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
But let's chat this morning to Major Andrew Fox. He's a former British Army officer. A very good morning. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you?
Yes, pretty well. It's been a busy week and I've just been in Israel and in Paris, so it's nice to be home.
Ah, okay. So, well, I don't know. I think very soon you're going to be telling us that Israel's home. I think you're spending more time there than you are at home, actually. Of course, you are very, very close to the events of October 7th and you've commented on them. Now Israel's going through this very, very painful process of understanding really what went wrong, holding up the mirror very closely. What are the limits around this? What should it be? Where is it healthy and where does it become problematic, in your view?
I mean, it's a healthy thing to do for the simple reason that it's called the Israel Defense Forces, and the first thing they will tell you when they meet you, senior commanders will be absolutely honest and say they failed in the defense part of that. And I've not met a senior IDF commander from Commander Southern Command or one of the divisional commanders who hasn't kind of led with that in the meeting. That's one of the first things they say to you. And I think it's important to understand how it happened and actually a degree of accountability is needed, because there were failures, both political and military, that led to 7th of October. And it would be, I think, remiss if Israel didn't ask for some accountability for that.
Should it be happening now, while Hamas is still active and while the war is unresolved?
Yeah, I find that a bit strange. I mean, I don't know whether the internal pressure within Israel is kind of forcing their hand. I don't know if it's just that they've done the report, so they're just pushing it out now. I have a pretty strong suspicion that military operations in Gaza are going to sort of pick up again relatively imminently. I agree, it does seem like slightly odder timing, but also, the flip side of that is that you need this sort of stuff for the wider society in Israel to enable kind of healing and closure. So, it's a tricky one. I don't think there's ever going to be a good time to push out this stuff.
Could it be that the investigation into the military is happening now and being released now as a way to avoid the political investigation?
Yeah, I think that's certainly possible. I mean, Mr. Netanyahu has been playing a very slippery game. If you look at the machinations in his cabinet, where he's sort of centralized power to himself, he's removed Mr. Gallant, the defense minister, instead is really not of the same caliber as Yoav Gallant. And that's because Bibi's been sort of keeping the power as close to the chest as he can. He's got a Trump presidency, which is giving him carte blanche to pretty much do what he wants. And so the last thing I think Bibi wants at this point is a political kicking from an internal investigation, especially given that he's already got one court case going on.
Right. So that is, have you seen anything in terms of the investigation that has surprised you?
The social media piece surprised me. It's quite astonishing that Hamas didn't even need to spy on Nahal Oz's military base, because IDF social media, soldiers' personal social media with selfies and videos and TikToks, gave away enough information that Hamas could make scale models and practice the assault. That's a very, very unprofessional piece of soldiering, if we're brutally honest. I was rigid with my soldiers, and they didn't do this sort of stuff, and it was enforced down the chain of command. So it's pretty poor stuff that happened. And I think there's a really key lesson for armies all around the world about the social media age and soldiers who are used to having phones in their hands 24/7. That did surprise me. I already knew about the professionalism of Hamas's attack. Actually, it was a very militarily well put together piece of planning.
down to the county council armor ambushes they set up. Even before they started committing atrocities, they'd break in, set up an ambush, and then try and ambush anyone trying to rescue the place they were attacking.
It's unfathomable to me when I think of, I think the number is 5,300 people eventually between Hamas and regular Gazans. I don't know how to even classify anybody anymore, but 5,300 people breaching this border, that there was not even a whisper of intelligence strong enough to prevent this. 5,300 people, many of whom weren't trained, and yet somehow they were able to mobilize and move and plan this without Israel finding out.
Well, I don't think that's entirely true. I think facility to stitch together the information they had. So the observers were calling in the fact that it looked like sort of a rehearsal was happening. We know that a bunch of Israeli SIM cards lit up within within Gaza. You know, the information was there, but for some reason it wasn't. You know, the picture wasn't put together properly, and there was nothing acted on. And again, I think it goes down to the fact that it was a holiday and they weren't working at full capacity, I suspect.
Except that they did. You know, I spoke to one of the observers who thankfully survived, and she was saying that they were seeing this practice, you know, on the screens all the time. Just nobody took it seriously. It reminds me many years ago of a friend of mine who landed up in rehab for alcohol and drug use. And he told me a story about how he was sitting with his family, stumbled to the bathroom. I don't know, whatever he did there, came back, stumbled to the table. And I said, how did your family not know? And he said, well, you don't see what you don't want to see. And this feels like that in a way, because it was all there.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's a really strong case to say that humans do make mistakes. We do have cognitive biases. We do have heuristics that trip us up. Mm. You know, unfortunately, it is the job of intelligence officers to try and work past that. But mistakes happen. And, you know, there's a great saying about the IRA that the intelligence services had to be lucky every time. The IRA only had to be lucky once to get the attack through. Wow. And I think,
exactly.
You know, and it's a really good maxim for terrorism. You know, Hamas just got lucky in that instance, and tragedy unfolded.
In terms of the Israeli public, is this type of investigation expose helpful, or does it undermine confidence?
That's another really tricky question, because I think it depends on the individual's perspective.
Right.
You know, I was speaking to an Israeli friend of mine yesterday, and she said she found it tiresome and a bit depressing.
Yes.
Whereas I have other Israeli friends who demand accountability and want answers as to why their family members were taken hostage.
Yeah.
So it really depends where you sit in this conflict. I think if you're a relative of a victim or a hostage family, then you're going to be demanding answers to how this was allowed to happen. So I can completely understand that.
Very, 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 very interesting. And of course, as we go through this process, so much more will come out of it. Major Andrew Fox, thank you as always for chatting us, sharing your perspective, and being this this objective standard that we can sometimes, whenever need be, check in with it. It is greatly appreciated.